Suddenly, the Delta merger rumors are coming from Delta. Atlanta's latest runway incursion was a really close call. And the courts blocked new background checks on the folks at the Jet Propulsion Lab. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation from Monday, January 14th, 2008. The stock markets were really cranky last week, but the stock prices of Delta, United, and Northwest Airlines all jumped up between 18 and 30% just on Thursday. The apparent reason was a report in USA Today that Delta executives are seeking the approval of their board of directors to open merger talks with United and Northwest. Delta CEO Richard Anderson is Northwest's former CEO. Northwest's routes offer less overlap with Delta's than United's do. And the two airlines are existing SkyTeam Alliance code-sharing partners. That's led to speculation that Northwest would be a more likely merger candidate than United. If the talk turns into action, this will quickly become a regulatory story. Even during a lame duck administration, many questions will be asked. Delta, merged with either Northwest or United, would surpass American Airlines to become the largest U.S. carrier. Conversely, many analysts say that without industry consolidation, the federal government could be looking at bankrupt airlines again and bailout pressures within the next 2 years, and nobody wants that. This one was really close. The pilot of an Atlantic Southeast Airlines regional jet ignored a hold short order at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport on Friday morning and crossed the runway in front of a Delta Airlines 757 on its takeoff roll. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association says ASA Flight 876, a regional jet headed to Greensboro, North Carolina, was instructed to hold short of runway 27 right. The pilot correctly read back the instruction, but then proceeded to cross the runway without clearance. That put the jet in the path of a departing Delta 757, Flight 261 to Mexico. The Delta jet was too far into its takeoff roll to stop before arriving at the intersection where the regional jet had crossed. The planes came within about 1,500 feet, that's about 3 seconds, of colliding. 44 passengers were on board the CRJ, while 130 were aboard the Delta mainline flight. The FAA is investigating. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco Friday ruled that the Bush administration cannot force NASA employees to submit to broad, undefined background checks. The San Francisco Chronicle reported that Judge Kim Wardlaw said the employees, quote, face a stark choice, either violation of their constitutional rights or loss of their jobs, unquote. Dan Stormer, the plaintiff's attorney, said the court's injunction also applies to workers at NASA's Ames Research Center in Mountain View, California, and that NASA has backed down on the requirement at facilities nationwide. The workers assert that they all underwent routine background checks when they were hired by the California Institute of Technology as JPL contract workers, and for many of them that was over 20 years ago. The paper says the new investigations were ordered by President Bush in 2004 as part of a sweeping Homeland Security directive requiring all employees at federal facilities to have secure and reliable forms of identification. Judge Wardlaw took the government to task, saying the, quote, open-ended and highly private questions authorized by this broad, standardless waiver do not appear narrowly tailored to any legitimate government interest, unquote. The injunction holds until the case goes to trial, and it allows the government to appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court. The Associated Press reports the crash of a small plane in a rural Ohio area on Saturday. AP quoted witnesses who said the pilot was preparing to land at the Erie, Ottawa Regional Airport about noon. Airport Director Jack Stables said the Cessna 340 Twin's landing gear and flaps were down and both engines running. A sheriff spokesman says the plane crashed in a rural residential area about 200 or 300 feet from a house. There were no injuries on the ground, but two men and two women on board were killed. They were not immediately identified. Later Saturday in St. Petersburg, Florida, AP reports a Cessna 172 carrying a 31-year-old pilot and his parents crashed into Tampa Bay about 100 yards short of a runway while trying to land at St. Petersburg Clearwater International Airport. The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office said all three bodies were recovered by divers. Up next on ANN, NASA works to get the shuttle program back on schedule. The TSA adds insult to injury. And the Air Force wants answers about F-15 launcher runs. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 14th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. That's Aero spelled A-E-R-O. NASA shuttle program managers announced on Friday that the new target for the launch of Atlantis is February 7th. As ANN reported, Atlantis was scheduled to lift off in early December on STS-122. That's a construction mission to the International Space Station. But a malfunction in two of four engine cutoff sensors inside the shuttle's external fuel tank scrapped that launch, as well as one attempted 4 days later. The two-month delay in STS-122 has created a two-month delay in the next mission, STS-123, to be flown by Endeavour. It has also prompted a resequencing with the Russians, who will move up a planned Progress launch from February 7th to the 5th. Next on the agenda for managers at NASA is what to do about the rest of the year's shuttle launch schedule. NASA had six launches slated for 2007, which was widely questioned even before the two-month delay in the schedule. The Transportation Security Administration's terrorist watch list has stopped being funny. TSA's terrorist web has snared a State Department diplomat, a four-year-old child, and even a retired U.S. Army officer and anti-terrorism expert flying on a ticket paid for by the Army. Even U.S. senators and congressmen and their wives have not been immune. As the watch list soared past a 500,000 names, it became obvious some recourse was needed for people on that list. Now it turns out the redress management system, a TSA website set up to let travelers apply for removal from the list, was not secure. Information Week reports the TSA's vendor, Design Web Service in Virginia, designed a website which could have left at least 247 applicants exposed to identity theft. But wait, it gets better. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee found that a TSA official in charge of the site was once an employee at Design, and that the company was awarded a no-bid contract for that work. That faulty website was pulled down about a year ago and replaced with a new one called TRIP, for Traveler Redress Inquiry Program. TSA spokesman Christopher White says there are no security issues with that one, and that the issues in the report are in the past. Just how easy is it to get on the watch list? Catherine Stevens, wife of Ted Stevens, the senior U.S. senator from Alaska, gets stopped at airports. The reason? TSA's worried that her name, Catherine Stevens, might be an alias for Cat Stevens, the name once used by pop singer Yousef Islam. The in-flight breakup of an F-15C Eagle fighter in November triggered a lot of questions. The answers are disconcerting. The U.S. Air Force confirmed on Thursday that the upper right longeron on the Missouri Air National Guard F-15 in question had manufacturing defects. That longeron cracked apart under the stress of a 7G turn, leading to other longerons failing as well, which then caused the cockpit to separate from the rest of the fuselage. The pilot was able to eject, but only after suffering a broken arm when the canopy snapped off. The Los Angeles Times reports that subsequent inspections of other F-15s have uncovered longerons that are too thin or have surface imperfections that may place too much stress on the structure. The flaws on some beams are relatively minor, others have larger problems. Nine other F-15s have been found to have cracks, similar to those found on the accident aircraft. The F-15C involved in the November accident was manufactured in 1980 by McDonnell Douglas. Boeing purchased that company in 1997 and assumed production of the Eagle at that time. It's unclear whether Boeing will be held liable for the structural problems. The F-15 was originally life-limited to 4,000 flight hours when it entered service in the mid-1970s. Subsequent testing by McDonnell Douglas validated the aircraft could fly safely for twice that time, so the limit was raised to 8,000 hours. The accident plane had 6,000 flight hours, according to the LA Times. The newest F-15, the E Strike Eagle, is life-limited to 16,000 flight hours. The FAA's next-gen air traffic control system will rely on Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, or ADS-B, to make the step to GPS-based navigation for the U.S. airspace. The FAA has set a leisurely deadline of the year 2020 to complete that switchover. But in Alaska, where ADS-B was tested in a program called Capstone, the safety improvement was so dramatic that the state was put on a course to complete the upgrade in just 5 years. Because the equipment is still prohibitively expensive for small plane operators, which means most Alaskan plane operators, a $493 million federal subsidy is being provided. But to access those funds, Alaska state officials have to first raise $34 million on their own. Several companies and nonprofits, including AOPA, have pledged funds to get it started, and they formed the Capstone Statewide Agreement Implementation Committee to start the lobbying effort. Vincent Capizzuto, head of the FAA's Broadcast and Surveillance Program, says the notice of proposed rulemaking will be available to accept public comment through March regarding Alaska airspace use with ADS-B equipment. Still ahead, Rotax issues a service bulletin on its popular four-strokes. A thief in Wisconsin has a really lame excuse for the cord. And it looks like Mars will be spared an asteroid hit. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a VRS full airframe recovery parachute. VRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call VRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at VRSParachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 14th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. Aero News has received word of a new service bulletin for certain Rotax 912 and 914 power plants. The bulletin applies to specific 912 and 914 series engines, gearboxes, and gear set serial number ranges, and requires the replacement of the gear set on affected engines. Rotax says metal fragments may break off from gear teeth, and in some cases become trapped between rotating gear sets, further damaging the gearboxes. Owners are required to immediately determine whether their planes are among those affected. A full list of affected serial numbers is available at www.rotax-owner.com. Just above the large blue education button, you'll see a link for mandatory gearbox info. The serial number you're looking for, by the way, that determines applicability of the recall is on the gearbox, not on the engine. A former employee of Basler Turbo Conversions in Oshkosh has pleaded no contest to one count of misdemeanor theft of movable property after stealing aircraft parts valued at more than $100,000. The Oshkosh Northwestern reports 27-year-old Brian A. Francart made the plea as part of a deal to have five other burglary and theft counts dismissed. As ANN reported, Basler employees noticed airplane parts missing from storage barns, including an $85,000 pair of landing skids, and notified the local sheriff. Some of the missing parts were found in Frankhart's truck and trailer. Police say Frankhart said he got the parts from a field on the outskirts of the city, adding that some guy in a bar told him he could find the parts there, And he says the man also suggested they rent a truck to pick up more of the scrap metal from barns belonging to Bassler. Had he been convicted on all the charges, Frankhart faced over 48 years in jail and more than $100,000 in fines. Under the plea deal in Winnebago County Circuit Court, he got 1 year of probation and a deferred 30-day jail sentence. That's a pretty good plea bargain. If you went out and bought a big new telescope to watch that asteroid hit Mars on January 30th, make sure you save the receipt. Scientists at the Near Earth Object Program at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory have lowered their estimate of the likelihood of an impact. That likelihood got as high as 1 in 25 at one point. Now it's 1 in 10,000. The asteroid, called 2007 WD5, is big enough to have blasted a half-mile-wide crater on the Martian surface, fairly close to where Mars rover Opportunity is located. That would have given scientists the cosmic equivalent of a front-row seat. Now, collision enthusiasts will just have to wait for the NASCAR season to open with the Daytona 500 on February 17th. And finally, cases of aviation versus NIMBYs often bring out hyperbole in public comments, but a New Jersey mayor may have gone a little over the top, even for a NIMBY. Newark Liberty International Airport is located right next door to Elizabeth, New Jersey, and is one of the airports expected to benefit in reduced delays with the introduction of additional fan-out departure routes proposed by the FAA. Lawsuits filed by 12 area towns and cities, and another by the state, are fighting those changes. But the Associated Press reports Elizabeth Mayor Chris Bolwage recently stated, quote, "The FAA plan will do more harm to the city of Elizabeth than any terrorist attack," unquote. If you recall, Newark Liberty was the origination point for United Airlines Flight 93 on September 11, 2001. Minutes after takeoff, real terrorists hijacked the plane. They were in turn overcome by passengers determined to stop them. The plane went down in a Pennsylvania field, killing four hijackers, 33 other passengers, and seven crew members. That's why the former Newark International Airport was renamed Newark Liberty. No damage was done to the airport itself by the real terrorists, so technically the mayor is correct. Insensitive maybe, but technically correct. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, after years of writing about the state of flight instruction, CFI Bob Miller puts his money where his mouth is. We'll talk about Bob's new flight school near Buffalo. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.